ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hey, Jules and Jez here. Join us as we unpack the news of the week on Not Stupid.
Greenland is depicted the same size as Africa, but Africa is 14 times the size.
A lot bigger than the Mercator map shows.
And I wonder if Donald Trump knows that Greenland is not that big.
You can find Not Stupid on the ABC Listen app.
Balmoral has just one pub. It's called the Western Hotel, and it sits on the corner of the town's main intersection.
It was a social hub of Balmoral. All the old farmers would come in, have a meal, and then come in the bar and sit down, have a few beers and have a talk.
Leading Senior Constable Jeff Barcham is in charge of the town's one-member police station. Each Friday, he has a counter meal at this one pub, and he chews the fat with the locals.
The price of wheat, the price of wool, price of lamb, the price of beef, gone up, gone down, I'm losing money, I'm making money.
He's responsible for enforcing the law in this town. But Friday nights are about building rapport with the townsfolk.
You know, you'd get to talk to people and know people and they'd get to know you because they always wanted to know their copper.
It's a great place to take the temperature on issues that are affecting the community.
There'd be a group of people standing around, so, you know, they'll have their two bobs worth.
And on this particular Friday night, there's one issue that everyone is talking about. It's been almost a week since the 21st birthday party and since Elise told police that she'd been raped by two friends in the caravan.
The people were talking and they wanted to talk to me because they wanted to know what was going on, obviously.
Everybody at the pub knows the boys involved.
Some people said, Sean Bloomfield couldn't have been involved, he wouldn't have done it, he didn't do it. And Luke Merrifield, he's the bloke who did it. And other people said, no, it was Sean and Luke together.
Elise's role is also up for discussion.
Some would say, you know, she shouldn't have gone in there with him. Others would say, no, you know, people should have been brought up better to do things like that.
Jeff's heard the term slut thrown around a bit too.
You could sort of sense the way some people were talking that you know, some people thought the girl deserved it.
Sean Bloomfield and Luke Merrifull are from establishment families.
When I heard Luke's name mentioned, I thought it was going to be hell to pay somewhere along the line. So, the lovely family, don't get me wrong, very well thought of it within the community. I just thought, what are the ramifications going to be when this comes out through the town?
In the pub, a narrative is forming. Information is getting twisted.
In the community, the initial shock is turning into anger and confusion. Battle lines are being drawn.
With Elise and her family on one side,
and the men and their supporters on the other.
I'm Charlotte King.
And I'm Andy Burns. And this is episode 3 of Hometown Boys, a series from Background Briefing. Jeff Barcham has moved his entire family here to Balmoral for this posting as the only cop in town. His son's now playing on the local footy club, and Jeff's been asked to be on every committee in sight.
There's 42 committees in the town and they want you on 41 of them, but the last one they don't want you on here so they can complain about you.
One committee he agrees to join is the Bush Nursing Centre. It's the town's only medical clinic, and when you're an hour's drive from the nearest hospital, it's vital.
It was just such an important part of the Balmoral scene because the nurses there were fantastic. I mean, yeah, there's always farmers having accidents on their farms and these nurses attend any time, day or night.
It's here that he gets to know Lisa Hutchins, the veteran nurse who runs the clinic.
I have a high regard for Lisa. She's a lovely lady, very professional, well-respected within town, a fantastic manager at the Balmoral Bush Nursing Centre.
Lisa Hutchins is a key part of the town's fabric.
And her husband, they had the nickname of the Mayor and Mayoress of Balmoral. Her older son and my my younger son were good mates, went to school together at Balmoral High School and played football together at Balmoral Harrow. I'd run into Lisa and her husband down the hotel on a Friday night. Sometimes I'd sit and have meals with them, I'd have a beer with them.
Lisa is that same bush nurse who'd picked Elise up from the caravan on the night of the 21st birthday party. And Rosie, her daughter, is Elise's good friend.
Yeah, we're family friends. Elisa was almost like a second mum. Rosie was one of my best friends. Like, safe people, you know?
But Lisa's also close friends with the Merrifull family.
Lisa and Luke's mother were extremely close friends. Extremely close.
Lisa and Luke's mother, Rhonda, played A-grade netball together in the 90s for the Balmoral Bombers. They wore these identical short red pleated netball skirts and black polo shirts. Lisa and Rhonda sported the same lady dye haircut. They also became mothers around the same time, and their kids attended Balmoral Kindergarten together. Lisa's husband is also cousins with Luke's dad, so she's actually related to Luke by marriage. About a week after the 21st birthday party, Lisa Hutchins is doing her rounds in the community, and one of those is a visit to the Merrifull house.
What the problem was really was that Luke Merrifull's mother at that stage was going through cancer.
Rhonda Merrifull, Luke's mum, she's been battling cancer for a few years now and she's receiving palliative care.
It was shocking the fact that Luke's been allegedly at this stage, raped this young lady and his mum's going through cancer. And so it was just sad and very shocking at the time.
Lisa Hutchins is not only Rhonda's nurse, but she's also her longtime friend. And when she visits her that day, Luke's mum opens up to her. She's worried about her son, who's now facing very serious allegations. She's really concerned about his mental health, and she asks Lisa to check on him. And Lisa does what's asked of her. She asks Luke how he's travelling and what his understanding is of what happened. This is the first time Lisa gets to hear Luke's version of events. Luke tells her that the sex he had with Elise inside the caravan was consensual, that he was very surprised by the allegations. The same week, Lisa also does a welfare check on Sean, and he tells her the same thing, that he thought Elise was into it. Lisa is on the front line, dealing with the community fallout, but she's now heard two opposing versions of what happened in the caravan. The boys are calling it sex. Elise is calling it rape. While Lisa is making her own inquiries, police are quietly gathering evidence in the community. Jeff Parcham's the town cop, and so he's not involved in the actual investigation. That job falls to Detective Alison Manicky-Brown. She's working from the police complex in Warrnambool, which is about 2 hours away on the coast.
With a sexual offence, there's several steps for a brief of evidence to actually be approved to get through to prosecution.
She's busy gathering witness statements. She's talking to anyone and everybody who was involved, who was at the party. But one of the most important people for her is Lisa Hutchins, the bush nurse.
She had collected Elise from the party with her daughter. She had had those initial conversations and she did play a part in the initial reporting process.
So she takes a statement from Lisa over the phone because she's a couple of hours away in Warrnambool.
That was what we call a statement of recent complaint. That was quite an important statement to take, yeah.
And then she sends Jeff Barcham, the local town cop, down to get the statement signed.
Went into her office, sat down and talked. Pretty much I gave her the statement to read. She read it, signed it.
Lisa is signing this statement as someone who'd been there in the immediate aftermath. She'd collected Elise in the middle of the night, wrapped her in a blanket on her kitchen bench, and she'd encouraged her to involve the police. She's also known all three of the people involved, Luke, Sean and Elise, since they were kids. But the police aren't interested in family ties or the difficult position that she's been placed in. They're focused purely on what she remembers from that morning. Things like she remembers that Elise was really upset, that she was crying when she picked her up from the caravan, and that critically, she told Lisa that she'd been raped and that it was Luke and Sean who had raped her.
I witnessed her signature and then we sat down to have a chat.
And Jeff remembers her saying something important.
She didn't think Luke was guilty of it, that he wouldn't have done it.
So Lisa's kind of doing two things at once. She signs the statement, which confirms that Elise said she was raped, that it was Luke and Sean, and that she didn't want it to happen. But in the same breath, Lisa's telling the community police officer that she didn't think Luke could have done it.
I walked out of there sort of shaking my head, thinking with all what's happened, and I just couldn't see how she thought he didn't do it.
Despite Lisa's private misgivings, she never asks Jeffrey to change her statement.
No stage did she come to me and say, I want to change my statement.
And she signs the original document, as is.
When she read it and signed it. And as I said, I witnessed the statement and I walked out with my copy and I sent it off back to the Hamilton police.
Lisa Hutchins declined an interview with us, but she did send a detailed response to written questions, which we'll refer to throughout this podcast. She told us this conversation took place on a busy clinic day and that she was just sharing initial thoughts. Lisa wrote, I didn't ask for any of this in my life and neither did my family. I was only interested in the truth and facts and relying on the court system to deliver a fair process.
The day after, Lisa sends a text message to Elise's mum, Catherine. Catherine had asked for advice from the bush nurse about where to go to get psychological help for Elise. Hope all's going well, Lisa writes. Happy to chat with her if you think it will help. She sends a link to a Headspace Youth Mental Health Service in Geelong and signs off the message with, good luck. Lisa is worried about Elise. Elise and her family have been living in Balmoral for about a decade at this point, and the Hutchins are some of their closest friends.
We thought we'd met really good people, so yeah, we felt like we'd found our spot. We seemed to enjoy it. Yeah, so yeah, it was good.
For Catherine, Balmoral is home. She and her husband have been running sheep there on this big, beautiful farm.
We'd done a few small renos to the house. We pretty much had it exactly how we wanted it. We were at the stage where we could probably slow down a bit and have a bit of a rest and enjoy the farm.
On weekends, they take friends water skiing on the nearby reservoir.
I'm not sure how many of our kids' friends learnt to ski behind our boat, you know, weekends out at the lake and stuff like that. It was a really nice time.
But now, after the 21st party, everything has changed. A few people reach out. A neighbour drops in to see if Elise is okay. But for the most part, Catherine feels completely alone.
From then on, we weren't welcome, but we were pretty much ostracised. And we may have done that to ourselves a little bit. We didn't want to go to the footy club.
And so the Hutchins' support means a lot, including to James, Elise's little brother. In Balmoral, their word matters.
Like, they had a pretty high standing in the community. They were pretty well respected around the footy club. They were behind us, so I thought, oh, you know, we've got a bit of support here.
But as the months go by, that support falls away.
The worst part was seeing like the relationships that my parents had with everyone sort of decaying away. It definitely had a profound effect on my family.
Slowly, this ring of silence tightens around the family.
I think we had some pretty strict instructions from the police on not saying anything and whatnot, so I just kept my head down and, yeah, just let it all play out around me, I suppose, and focused on what I was doing.
But that's not easy. James is kind of fed up this one night and he just decides, I'm going to head to the pub.
I guess I was like, well, why should I miss out on going and having a beer with my mates?
So he meets up with a couple of friends, including his best mate, Tom Hutchins, who's Lisa's youngest son. Despite the growing tension between their families, James and Tom are, at this point, still good mates. They're about 18 and they sit down at a table together in a group.
As the night went on, sort of got confronted by Luke's dad.
Luke's dad, his name's Peter Merrifull. He played footy for Balmoral too. And he's on the pub wall in one of these team photos. He's tall, he's a big bloke, and he approaches James and his mates at their table.
And, yeah, he just sort of lined me up from across the bar and just walked straight up and sort of put himself between, like I was had my back to the wall and sort of either had to push through him or put up with him.
And it's almost like this scene from like an old Western.
Yeah, he just sort of stuck out his hand and said, "Are you going to shake my hand?" I was like, "What do you want me to do with that?" He's like, "You're going to be a man and shake it or what?" Then yeah, I'm embarrassed to say that I did just shake his hand just to get out of there and then I left.
For James, who's still just a kid really, it feels intimidating and humiliating. He walks out into the night and he never goes back.
In a sense, I guess I felt pretty lonely because my best mate was there and he watched it happen.
That best mate is Tom Hutchins, but Tom's also Peter Merrifull's cousin. He witnesses the whole scene, but he doesn't get involved.
It made me feel sick, to be honest. Yeah, I was very upset about that.
James's whole world is starting to close in on itself.
So I felt, I just felt alone and I felt like I'd let my sister and my family down, that's for sure. Allowing that to happen felt like, made me pretty weak.
James has spent most of his life in this town. He's played the defence line for the Harrow Balmoral Roos and he's at home on the football oval. Up until this point, he's felt like one of them.
Yeah, it was definitely sort of the end of my relationship with the community. I didn't get invited to any one of my year levels, 21st birthday parties or 18th birthday parties. So I kind of knew then that where I sat with everyone. So yeah, you don't mind sort of trudging through a bit of shit, but when you're left on your own and your mates sort of turn against you, it makes it more challenging, that's for sure.
We reached out to Peter Merrifull and Tom Hutchins to hear their version of events, but neither of them responded to our questions. In her written response to us, Lisa Hutchins said Elisa's family had a skewed perspective of the support that was available to them in the community and chose to isolate themselves. Lisa said she was ultimately committed to staying objective, like many other community members, and denied that she'd sympathised with the boys. There appeared to be an expectation by the family that my family's life too should stop, Lisa said.
As Luke and Sean await the results of the police investigation, life in Balmoral appears to carry on as normal. Sean is living in Horsham and working there as a diesel mechanic on farm machinery, but he comes back to visit his family and he's seen around doing his camping and hunting and fishing. Luke is more visible in town. Each weekend, he plays footy for the Harrow Balmoral Roos. In August, they win an elimination final and he stands shoulder to shoulder with the teammates in the locker room. You know, there's a video of him with everybody and they're all singing the big song, you know, it's potent. Like, they're clearly, they've had this big win and he's right there in the thick of it. He's broken his collarbone, so he's got one arm kind of, he can't hold on to his teammates, but he's one of this team and there's no daylight between them. After that match, there's a post on Facebook from the club that basically lets everybody know that Luke has broken his collarbone and he won't be there to play the rest of the final series. And they wish him a speedy recovery in what has been a tough month. This is a life-changing time for Luke because his mum, Rhonda Merrifull, dies after a long battle with cancer. It's a really difficult time for everybody at the club, including Rhonda's longtime friend, Lisa Hutchins. Luke's mum was beloved in the community at large because she was a school teacher. She's somebody that's held in such high esteem that they actually create a trophy in her honour for the club player of the year. They also have this big presentation night, and Luke and his dad and sister are there, dressed up to receive this posthumous life membership for her from the club. We've been told that when something bad happens, the football club are there for people. They're the ones that organise the casserole. They're the ones that show up for each other. Club members have told us that it was a very difficult time to turn away from the Merrifull family because they were going through this awful tragedy. And then, in an extraordinary turn of events, Sean's mum also dies. A few weeks later, in the September of 2016, again after a long illness. And so it really makes the whole situation so much more complex that both mothers pass away right in the middle of all of this. So the collarbone injury means that Luke will miss the grand final, but he is there for their Mad Monday celebrations, which is like the once the season's over, everybody gets together and they dress up and go on a pub crawl. It's a big fun day out for the whole club. There's a photo of the entire team of footy players, netballers and all the hangers-on dressed up, and Luke is right there in the centre of it in a bright orange Pokemon costume. And in that same photo is Rosie Hutchins, Lisa's daughter. So Rosie, you'll remember, is Elise's good friend from school. She's the one who picked up Elise from the caravan after the 21st party when she made those panicked phone calls. A few months down the track, and Rosie is here in this same Mad Monday photo, and she's partying with Luke Merrifull. Rosie Hutchins declined an interview, but she did respond to written questions. She said what happened between Elise and Luke had nothing to do with her and that she had done nothing wrong by socialising with Luke. Balmoral is a small community with limited opportunity to socialise, she wrote. There should not have been an expectation for me to stay home and avoid contact with everyone for the years it took to finalise this case. Mr. Merrifull has always been and will always be a close friend of mine, regardless of what he has or has not done. That's what friends do. They support each other during difficult times.
That might be how Rosie sees it. The picture looks very different to Elise.
I was a bit like, oh, they're going to protect their own. I'm not a sporty person. I'm not related to anyone. I'm an other. I'm an outsider and they're going to exclude me. And it's exactly what they did. They banded together.
She's spending a lot of time in bed. She's basically trudging through this university degree, which was really exciting to her at the start of the year, but now it's just becoming so difficult. Like a lot of things in her life, she's not functioning very well. Some weekends she comes home to Balmoral to see her family, and in this one moment of loneliness, she actually reaches out to a friend who she thinks is removed from all of this.
I did reach out, so embarrassing, and I was like, oh, like, you know, well, I'm home for the weekend, like, do you want to hang out? Like, I don't have any friends kind of left, and I'm home, you know, home a couple of days kind of thing. And we organised, she was going to come around and have a barbecue, and I, you know, made up a dinner and I made a really nice cob loaf and made a fire and had it all ready, and she never showed up. Never really said why. But that was my last time trying. It was actually so depressing. My dad came out and ate it with me.
Eight months after the 21st birthday party, Luke and Sean are charged with rape. Sean is also charged with sexual assault. And this has an enormous effect on how the community interacts with the family. Elisa's mum, Catherine, is working part-time at this local bank branch. It's the only one in town and it's on the main drag.
Just your typical 1980s probably bank, you know, with a couple of tellers, small country town. Yeah, very much like that.
She's in there one day after the charges are laid and she's, you know, doing her job as a bank teller, and one of Luke's relatives walks in.
Yeah, I just look up and you're waiting for the next customer to come, and she goes, no.
Catherine now has customers who won't be served by her.
I've served her just the week before. I've served her many times. I said fair enough and left her to it.
It makes sense for Catherine that the men's families are standing by them, even after charges are laid. But she expects more from others in the town, including the football club.
Nothing changed. They probably got more support then than what they had before. I think everyone, obviously they didn't believe it had happened. And, you know, they needed support. They needed to get around them.
Despite the rape charge he's facing, Luke plays the full 2017 season.
All them said, get around him, you've got to support him and all this stuff. Like, and thinking, well, God almighty, he's done the wrong thing. Should be the opposite.
Elisa's dad, Bevan, starts to feel like people from the football club are freezing him out.
Oh, not all the football club, but most of them, yeah. I'd pull the odd one up and say, g'day, or make them talk. They feel very uncomfortable. It makes you feel like as though I'd rape the girl or something. Like, it's a little weird, yeah. They just want it all to go away.
Luke and Sean are committed to stand trial towards the end of the footy season. And as the heat on the club increases, the pressure builds on the family. One weekend, the team heads off to play an away match. It's at a little town called Laharum, which is just up the road from Balmoral. Luke and his team lose the match, and a supporter for the other team yells out, "Rapists!" as they're coming off the field. The Harrow Balmoral Footy Committee isn't happy, and a club member gets Bevan on the phone. He tells him Elise is to blame for this.
Giving the football club a bad name. And I said, what do you mean by that? And she said, oh, well, all this stuff going on. I sort of in shock. I couldn't believe a person would be saying that sort of crap.
The man on the other end of the phone, who's basically blaming Bevan and his daughter for this situation that the club's in, that man is someone Bevan used to spend weekends with. They used to go water skiing on the local reservoir together.
Oh, well, that's what I said to him. I told him what I thought of him. He was pretty poor. And I thought, if you've got a problem, don't do it on the phone. And then, no, I never heard nothing more about it.
We did ask the Harrow Balmoral Football Netball Club Committee for an interview. They declined. They also declined to answer our written questions. Bevan's got a reputation as a hard man, the type of bloke who, if you gave him cheek in the pub, would lay you down flat. He's a gun shearer, has won a bunch of awards, and is known around the sheds as a bit of a legend. And he has to fight the urge to take matters into his own hands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. But you felt like it. You felt just, going right off.
A criminal trial is looming, and police tell Bevan to hold it together.
They just said just don't go do anything stupid because you could bug the whole case up.
Most of the witnesses will be from Balmoral, and Elisa's parents are worried that community loyalties will bleed into the courtroom. Just months after charges were laid, they'd come across a Facebook post by Lisa Hutchins, the bush nurse. It's a photo of two of her children, along with Luke Merrifull and his sister. The caption reads, "Four of my five favourites." In her written response to us, Lisa said the post was about highlighting that one of her children was missing from the photo and overseas. She said that there was no alternate intent to the post. For Elisa's parents, it's a public declaration of support for Luke. Lisa's meant to be one of the most important witnesses in the upcoming trial. And they're wondering, what's she going to say once she's on the stand? Next time on Hometown Boys.
Are you able to say whether or not she was crying?
She appeared that she may have been crying.
Well, was she crying at the time?
She wasn't crying at the time. She was upset. She wasn't howling tears, if that's what you're asking.
I was exhausted and I was fucked. And I just opened it and it just broke me.
These are tense times, I understand. But please. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Background Briefing's sound producers are Lila Schunner and Ingrid Wagner. Sound engineering by Harvey O'Sullivan. Music composition by Emrys Cronin and Joshua Curtis. Fact-checking by Justine Landis-Hanley. Our rollout producer is Ben Sveen. The supervising producer is Max Chalmers. And the executive producer is Fanu Fulali. I'm Charlotte King.
And I'm Andy Burns. To hear more episodes, search for the Background Briefing podcast on the ABC Listen app. Thanks for listening.